Today, I'm glad to be in God's presence, and I believe that He's going to help us over these next few moments. We began a series a couple of weeks ago called Essentials, and I'm really challenged by this series. And let me just say at the outset here this morning that I'm really, really grateful for this house. I'm really grateful for this church. I'm grateful for you, whether you're online or in person today, because I really do feel your hunger for the Word every day. I'm really encouraged by and blessed by. I'm motivated from your desire to grow in God. You're not satisfied with just fluff teaching or preaching. You're wanting something, and you're wanting meat, and I'm thankful for that. And I believe that God has just been walking us through a process these last few months as we deal with some of the realities that are happening, and they're on multiple fronts. Obviously, COVID-19 is not the only thing that's happening in our world. It's not the only thing that's happening in our nation. I know it has ruled the day and ruled the airwaves, and it's talked about to the point that we probably hope we'll never hear some of those words again. But I'm afraid they are ever with us, and we've got to process those things. But what is God saying to the church? And so this series, Essential, has been working through some of those things. Here is essential defined. The dictionary definition is a thing that is absolutely necessary. A thing that is absolutely necessary. Not a thing that is optional, not a thing that is maybe, not a thing that is, well, if I feel like it. It's a thing that is absolutely necessary. So week one of this series, just to recap for a moment, and you can go back and watch any one of these messages on YouTube. If you'll subscribe to the Church Covington, or even on Facebook, scroll down, you can get back to previous weeks. But the first week we taught essentials are essential. Yes, we have to have essentials, whether you want to call them values or boundaries or refer to them as lines that have been drawn. You have to start somewhere. You have to decide. You have to do what Joshua said. Choose this day who you will serve. Make up your mind that something is going to be important to you, and you are not going to compromise it for any reason. And then last Sunday, we taught a message called Take Me to Church. I believe the church is essential, and we're glad you are a part of it. Again, if you're online with us today, if you're in the room today, our in-person is growing every week, and I'm seeing faces I haven't seen in months, and it's like family reunion every Sunday when we have the chance to see people that we love so very much. But the church is essential, and so my heart and my mind are full with the essentials that we need to cover. But today, somewhat uniquely and perhaps even reactionary to some of the current news of last week, I'm going to speak to another essential. And I need to present this essential just a little bit differently, because the subject is vast and I want to narrow it down and just kind of make it in bite-sized pieces of meat that you and I can grasp and get our minds wrapped around on a single Sunday. It's a vast subject. It's a broad subject, but it is eternity impacting. It's consequential to my eternity. I want to talk to you about peace today. Peace. And it's multifaceted how that I want to talk to you about peace. And generally, my normal style of teaching is to convey the spiritual impact of a subject and then end with the practical and give you some steps you can walk out and some practical things that you can do, disciplines, whatever it may be, to help what is spiritually impacting become reality in our lives. But I need to reverse that today and talk to you about some of the practical things and then close out with some of the spiritual things. And I want to talk to you today about a piece of peace. A P-I-E-C-E of P-E-A-C-E. Lord Jesus, please let me have spelled those correctly. There's nothing more dangerous than trying to spell something when you're publicly speaking. Ask Dan Quayle about that from many, many years ago. But I think I did that right. A piece of peace. Here's the deal. Peace is essential, but it's complicated. If you're taking notes today, you ought to write that down at the top of your page. Peace is essential, but it is complicated. And that is the tension. That is the rub, if you will. And I want to tackle that today because it is absolutely essential. And I want to talk to you about your peace because I realize that is what matters to you right now. Not that we're being selfish, not that we're all about just whatever's in it for me. But I realize you can't even fathom world peace. You can't even think about some of those grand big picture ideas of peace because you're not at peace in your own life. So I need to talk to you about your personal peace, but I also need to talk to you a moment about world peace today and how these things come together. I realize that peace is peace, but both of these are essential to our eternity. Anything that has eternal consequences is essential now. I'm going to say that again because I want to make sure you get that. Anything that has eternal consequences is essential right now to our lives. I need to make sure that we believe that we understand that, or otherwise the rest of the message really does not matter. You realize today that what I do today affects my eternity. The way I live my life today can affect my eternity. That's why the Bible does not give us permission to live like complete fools. And then, you know, just because somewhere when we were 5 years old or 3 years old, or maybe we were a baby and someone brought us for dedication and put some water on our forehead, that we're automatically saved. No, the way I live my life today affects my eternity. And again, because I've got bills due today, and because I've got family sick today, and because I got grass needing to be mowed today, and because I've got oil changed, needing to be changed, I can't even think about eternity because I'm so bogged down and covered up, and my mind is so in chaos with what's happening right now. And somehow we have to unravel ourselves out of some of that because the devil has us so busy, has us living in such chaos that we're not thinking about eternal things. I'm in the right place today. I am. Just be quiet. I'm gonna get there. Just let me work through this. Peace defined is a state of tranquility or quiet. It's further defined as freedom from civil disturbance. We don't have that right now. It's a state of security or order within a community provided by a law or custom. Some of those things are suspect as well. Because we seem to have none of that happening in our nation right now or in our world. And I'll go a step farther. I believe we're struggling with personal peace. We're struggling with personal peace. It begs the question, who follows who? Is the world in unrest because we personally are not at rest? Or are you and I not at rest and not at peace because the world is not at peace? Which one is affecting the other? Which one has to be solved first? Maybe we can answer that question. So peace is essential, but it's complicated. What do you mean by that? Let me tell you. Job 14:1. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. That doesn't sound like peace to me. Man who is born of woman, say that's me. Everybody's got a mama, whether you know her, whether she's still alive, whether you were put into an adoptive system, whatever. Everyone in this room was born of mother and is just a few days. That means we're only guaranteed. What does the Bible say about 70 years? Some go longer than that. Some much shorter than that. But we only have this life. It's but a short amount of time. Every young person in this room, 12, 13, 14 years old, you think 70 years is, man, that's just forever. But hit 48 here in just a couple of weeks and you'll think 70 is not old at all. I want some more time. Give me a vitamin, Kristen. I think I'm ready to take it finally. You hush, Joe. Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. Are you encouraged yet? Probably not. Let me give you another one. Acts 14:22. Strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. He's trying to encourage them, trying to build them up and uplift them. He goes on to say, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Peace is essential, but it's complicated because your life is full of trouble. And in order to get to that eternity that you're wanting and you're searching for and you're desiring and you want to do all of this right here so that it can all be right there, in order to get there, you've got to go through many hardships. This is either going to be the best message you've ever heard or the worst, and I hope you'll come back next Sunday. I've literally wrestled with this week. I've wrestled. I've argued with God in my office. I've wrestled and tossed and twisted all of this around because so many of us are not having inner peace. We're not at peace. Can I tell you a truth today? It's impossible to live a lie and be at peace. It's impossible. Peace seems elusive. It's some of you have already resigned. I'm never going to be at peace. I'm never going to be at a place of just complete contentment in my life because our homes, our marriages, our schools, our workplaces, God knows our governments have been in chaos for so long. And something that Jesus promised us seems impossible. Again, peace is essential, but it's complicated. And so a relationship with God, not religion, it's an important distinction. Our relationship with God requires authenticity. It requires honesty. It requires being real in the presence of God. Not putting on a Sunday show, not just dressing it up and getting it just right for being around the Christian people. No, it requires an authenticity in my life. Religion may promote something else. It may allow something else, but real relationship will mess with you because when you try to live a lie, suddenly your life is not at peace anymore. And I know that authenticity is a buzzword, and it's probably not, it's not our current reality in much of Christendom. There is a surface authenticity. There is a filtered authenticity. It's like the filters you put on your photos for Instagram or for social media. It's not real. It's beneath all of that. It's just God's goodness and grace and mercy. But I'm dying to comment. Y'all know, you know, that filter has stretched your faith so out of, you are so everything's just messed up. And they're just smiling, and everybody, you're so beautiful, you're so gorgeous, you are a rock star. No, they're not, they're ugly. I'm sorry. But something is not right, them filters are lying, you're not at peace. So here's where I need peace with God. I need peace, personally, you, me, we need peace with God. How does that happen? That happens through repentance. We get peace with God through repentance. Does that mean, Pastor Dale, that every single Sunday you got to make an altar call and I got to come running down and fall on this altar? And, oh, God, I'm so sorry that I've sinned. No. I think we've made repentance a very negative thing. I think we've made it a very, man, you got to do this when you have just, you have messed up so bad. No, Paul said, I die daily. That is repentance. Every single day, I'm casting myself on the altar saying, Lord, I cannot do this without you. And that's not how you and I live most of the time. We wait until something goes wrong before we really pray. I'm not judging you. I'm living with you. I understand. That's what we do oftentimes. We wait until something is broken before we start trying to repair it. But what would happen if we would maintain it? What would happen if we would give attention to it? What would happen if we would grease it? What would happen if we would just do the maintenance that is necessary on it and allow our relationship to function as it should? So I get peace with God through repentance. The second area of peace that is needed is peace with you. I need peace with myself. I need peace with myself. I need peace with me. You need peace with you. How do I get that? It's through self-reflection. I get peace with God through repentance. I get peace with myself through self-reflection. If I'm going to be honest with anyone, I have to be honest with me. If you're going to be honest with anyone, please be honest with yourself. Because it's the only way that you're ever going to be at peace with yourself, through self-reflection. And then I need peace with others. I need peace with God, I need peace with myself, I need peace with others. How do I get peace with others? It is through forgiveness. Through forgiveness. Because others hurt us, others wrong us, others cheat us, others fail us, others disappoint us, and the only way to be at peace with others is to be a really good forgiver. And I'm already teaching, but at the very outset of this message, you probably can already figure out what is needed in your life. Are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with others? All three of those may be out of alignment. In fact, if I'm not at peace with others, it's going to affect my ability to be at peace with God. If I'm not at peace with myself, it is going to affect my relationships with other people. So it's hard to single any one of these out, but you may see already in this message. Okay, all right, that's an error. I've got to work on that. Underscore that, underline that, circle that in my notes. I've got to spend some time thinking about that this week. Because to have real peace in Jesus, that is rest, that is tranquility, that is wholeness, that is completeness, that is contentment. John 14 and 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." The world may give you heartache, brokenness, disappointment, lies, pain, all kinds of junk, but that's not what I give to you. I give to you my peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, because I'm giving to you my peace. But wait a minute, Lord. Your word also said that if I was born of woman and I was alive on this earth, that my life was going to be full of trouble. I know, but I'm giving you my peace in order to get through the trouble. Romans 5 and 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Because we have been justified, because I said yes to Jesus, because I am doing my best, I'm not perfect, but doing my best to live a dedicated, consecrated, intentional Jesus life, I have been justified. Remember that word justified. If you want to break it down phonetically, sound it out, it is just as if I had never done it. Whatever it was, whatever the sin was, whatever the mistake was, just as if I had never done, I've been justified. He made me as though I had never committed the crime. And he said, when you are justified, now you have peace with God. If you're trying to find peace outside of Jesus, that is an impossibility. I know many people don't believe that because they've made so many other things gods and so many other things you can worship, but I'm telling you the truth. The only way to get real peace is in a relationship with the Lord. Psalm 4 and 8, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Psalm 29, 11, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So how do I get my own personal peace deal? We've heard about peace deals in the news this last week, and I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But how do I get my own personal peace deal? I heard you say that the peace that I need is peace with God and peace with myself and peace with others. How do I broker? How do I negotiate? How do I get my own personal peace deal? I want to help you with that. Number one, you have to get under the lordship of Jesus. In order to have a real peace in your life, you have to get under the lordship of Jesus. Acts 10, 36, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Or Isaiah 32, 17 and 18, the fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. When I am under the lordship of Jesus, what does that mean? I'm living that intentional, disciplined, focused life, that life that is committed to Christ. It's not perfect. It falls, it fails, it messes up, it makes mistakes, but it always gets back up and keeps moving toward the things of God. When I get under the lordship of Jesus, that is when I am promised peace in him. Number two, If I want peace in my life, I need to bring Jesus into every situation. Bring Jesus into every situation. That's why the amens you just heard were people that were over a certain age. Because when I said that, they remembered their mamas telling them that. It wasn't this part-time kind of faith. It wasn't this Sunday only kind of believing. Look at me. I'm getting used to TV preaching. I got my hands behind my back just walking with pointed toes. Lord, I'm going to be a televangelist before this pandemic's over. Sow your money today. If we could just get some holy water around here, we could really do something great. I'm just kidding, folks. Relax. It's not what we're doing. They heard their mamas talk about, hey, if you want peace in your life, you got to bring Jesus into everything. It's not optional. It's not optional. You have to get Jesus involved in every situation of your life. Pastor, if I do that, that's going to make me one of them super Christians. That's going to turn me into one of those people that talk about Jesus all the time. I'm going to be one of those people that get on my nerves. Doesn't have to be weird. It doesn't have to be awkward. But I promise you, it will not sound like this world. And the whole big mess that we've got going on in the world today is that the church is trying to sound too much like the world and pattern ourselves after the world. So we have to bring Jesus into every situation. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Philippians 4:8-9. I love this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Bring Jesus into every situation. It means I'm not going to allow myself to think thoughts that are outside of Jesus' best for my life. You say, Pastor Bill, that's impossible. It's impossible. I hear what you're saying, but that's why Paul teaches us that we have to bring every thought into captivity. I preached this just recently, taught this, that we have like, was it 60 or 80,000 thoughts a day? Average person? Some of you maybe a few less. I got to bring all of that into captivity, all of that under the lordship of Jesus. Bring Jesus into every situation. And then number three, keep your mind on Jesus. All of those thoughts. When my mind wants to be undisciplined and go down this wrong road or that wrong road or think about this over here that's not right, I got to rein that in. Wait a minute, I've got to keep my mind on Jesus, on his work, on his word, on the things. How can I allow this fruit to be best seen and grown in my life? Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peace is possible. But in order to achieve it, we have to believe, we have to obey, and we have to follow Jesus. I can't achieve this peace if we're allowing others and we're allowing circumstances and we're allowing the media and we're allowing everything else to dictate what we believe. That's why we have to have an essential in our lives. You got to know who you are and what you have and what you possess in God. So, the question is, does my personal peace create world peace? On a small scale, let me answer that this way. If you, as a mama, a wife, a grandmother, a dad, a husband, a student, if you are at peace with God, with yourself, with others, does it affect the temperature or the climate in your home? In your 1,500 square feet, in your 2,000 square feet, if you personally are at peace, does it affect everything in your home? Sounds like we all agree that it does. So let's broaden that out a little bit. If a few hundred people that are either in this service or online today, if all of us, if the hundreds of us are at personal peace, will the few hundred of us that are living in peace, in Jesus kind of peace, will that affect our community? Keep expanding that out. If our nation is at peace, will it affect the world? Peace is essential, but it's complicated. So I asked earlier, do we not have peace in our nation because we do not have peace in our homes, or is it vice versa? Regardless of what comes first, whose fault it is, or who has to move, make the first move. I believe the church has to lead the way. There's good reason why the church is first to any disaster. There's lots of criticism right now about what's happening in Louisiana. Had a massive hurricane, and I've got friends there that pastor, and their churches are completely destroyed. The membership of the churches, the people that attend the church, their homes are completely destroyed. And you know who's making a difference? It's other churches that are coming from Texas and Arkansas and Alabama and Missouri. People that are coming in with supplies, people that are sending offerings, people that are shipping whatever, anything they can get their hands on. People coming from Florida with gasoline and generators. The church. The church is first to every disaster. The church has to lead the way. And it's no secret that attitudes and feelings, they're at fever pitch in America right now. This happens every 4 years, every election cycle. Everybody gets out of sorts, and it's your side and this side and that side. I can't believe you support that candidate. I can't believe you support that candidate. And back and forth. And now social media has just given us an instantaneous audience that we'll say whatever we want to say. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that we go to church with that person. It doesn't matter that we love that person. We're just going to say whatever's on our mind to say. And you just allow some of that to keep going and keep going and keep going. And what are we going to end up with? What are we going to do? Where are we going to be? Presidents and personalities aside, let's talk about another piece of peace. This last week, the Abraham Accord was signed. If you saw it in the news, it's a major deal, a major, major deal. Some people cannot hear that because of their disdain for the president who is in office currently. And so it's automatically discounted. This has nothing to do with presidents to me. This has nothing to do with personalities or any of that. This is the Bible, the Word of God. And it's significant news because this peace deal, it's never happened like this. It's never happened with these countries. You if let me catch you up real quick. It's the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, it's Bahrain, and Israel agreeing to normalize relations with one another. Saudi Arabia is rumored to be wanting in on this deal now, and other Middle Eastern countries. And this is good because peace is always good. But it's also telling. It's also alarming. It's also a warning. What do you mean, Pastor? Let me read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. You can read this in your version. You can follow along with me on the screen if you want. Study this. But Paul is writing. He said, now concerning how and when all this will happen. What's he talking about? He's talking about the coming of the Lord. When all of these things, the end of the world, when Jesus comes back for his church, concerning how all of this will happen. He said, dear brothers and sisters, we really don't need to write to you. He said, you know, but I need to write this for other people because, verse 2, you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin. And there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. I guess it's my job partly to make sure that you're not surprised. To make sure you and I understand our Bible and we're not distracted by so many other things. Are you saying, Pastor Darrell, that Jesus is about to come back because this Abraham Accord was signed? I don't know. The reality is, when I look back on 47 years, I've seen Siberian 7 released. I've seen some smaller peace deals broached, and every time those things were signed, they said the church, we're out of here. It's over. I can remember being my son's age. Jude is 14. I remember being his age, and they had me so scared that Jesus was coming back. And I was low-key mad about it. Like, no, they told me, you're never going to drive a car. You're not going to get a driver's license. You're not going to get married. And I really wanted to drive a car. And I don't know that I really wanted to be married, but I definitely wanted a honeymoon. Y'all be fake if you want to. I'm going to tell the truth. Hold on, Lord, wait. You've been around the church any amount of time. You know what I'm talking about. You felt this feeling. And so it's easy, well, this is just another one of those deals, another one of those days. I don't know. But I know nothing has ever happened to the degree that it did this last week. It's never happened. In history, it's never happened. And I have a feeling with the way things are shaping up in our world that we are much closer to the coming of the Lord than we ever have been. And being that close to the coming of the Lord means that I cannot live my life as usual. I've got to get serious about what God is doing, what he's called us to do, what he's asked for us to do. I can't give you a date. Can't tell you when it's going to happen. But let me ask you something. Can you imagine what the Sunday before, if we had a date, If I could give you a date, can you imagine what the Sunday before that date would look like in this room? I don't think we'd have enough chairs. Suddenly, I don't think people would be worried about social distancing. There'd be no debate about masks or no, the cars would be piling in, lined up. But Jesus said, I'm not going to give you a date. I just want you to be ready. I want you to live your life today with no date, as though it could happen. What'd the song say? Morning, noon, morning, night, or noon. Be ready. Peace is essential, but it's complicated. Jesus came to give us peace, but I'm going to complicate this further. Matthew chapter 10, I'm closing. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. Sweep over my forever, I pray. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Listen, keep in mind every single verse that I taught, there were 7 or 8 of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different verses, Jesus promising us peace. Saying, you seek my righteousness, I'm going to give you peace. Jesus promising us peace. You heard all of those verses. But let me complicate it further. Matthew 10, verse 34. Do not suppose, words are read, Jesus is speaking. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. I want you to have peace. I want you to be at rest. But I did not come to the earth to bring peace. I came to divide. Let me just read it, not my words. For I have come to turn man against his father, daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law. This one should be easy. Against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. I want you to be at peace. But I didn't come to this earth. I came to divide. I came to separate weed and tare. I came to separate believer and unbeliever. I came to draw a line in the sand. That's what he's saying. Let me just paraphrase. I came to draw a line in the sand and ask you which side of the line you're going to be on. Are you going to live for God? Or are you going to live for yourself? And so he says, if your own father rejects me, then you need to choose me. You say, Pastor Darrell, that's too hard. I know, it's too hard for the modern church who's been coddled and comforted so much that we are not prepared for the last days. Pastor Darrell, what's going to happen? I don't know. But I feel a warning in my spirit, and I have from the beginning of this whole situation, that COVID-19 is just an appetizer for the trouble that is coming to our world. And there has been conviction in my spirit that says you're not preaching it straight enough. You've got to get people ready. Because if they're not ready, they will not make it. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. Sweep over my spirit forever. Father, I need you to help us. Peace is complicated. Not at peace in my home, not at peace in my marriage, not at peace with myself, not at peace with others, not at peace with you. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. I don't know where you're sitting, sir. I don't know where you're sitting, ma'am. I don't know where you are online. But today is the day. Today is the day of salvation in your life. If you're in this room and today is the day that you know, I need to get right with God. As old-fashioned as it may sound, as alarming as it may seem, I'd love for you to boldly stand to your feet and just say, today I gotta know. I gotta know before I leave this room that I am at peace with God. If you're online today, you can just raise a hand. Just say, hey, it's me. I need to be at peace with God. I don't want to miss my moment. I don't want to miss my chance. I don't want to miss my opportunity. I want to be right with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love, I'm gonna pray in just a moment. Say peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father. See you standing. Remain standing a moment. Online, remain engaged for a moment. Sweep over my spirit Forever I pray in fathomless billows of love. Father, we need you. We need you. We need your peace. This turmoil in our nation, this sadness on our streets, it's getting in my spirit. Got me looking side eye at my brother and sister. I'm forgetting what is the main goal. The goal is heaven. The goal is not my party's candidate winning the White House. The goal is not my favorite politician rising to a win. The goal is heaven. And I can't let this world get into my spirit. I can't let the anger, I can't let the fever pitch, I can't let the discord, I can't let the division get into my spirit. I can't let the frustration, the division get into your church. We need your peace to sweep over our spirit today, today, today. I pray for people, Lord, in this room. I pray for people online. I've seen many standing. I know many are online right now saying, yeah, that's me too, me. Pray for me today. I say yes to his peace. I say yes to eternity with Jesus. I say no to this world. I say no to its ideas and plans and wishes for my life. I reject everything about the world. I say yes to your word and yes to you, Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of every evil deed, thought, plan, desire. Today I stand bare in your presence. And I receive your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name. Sweep over my spirit forever. I pray in fathomless billows of love. Listen, if you prayed that with us today, if you're in the room, please, please avail yourself. Either one of these yes banners have a Following Jesus book. It's practical next steps, how to, what to do from here. It's a fast read. It's a few pages this week just to get a grasp. Get back in the house of God as soon as you possibly can. Give your life to Jesus. If you're online, just type the word follow in the chat. Just follow. Just say follow, and we'll make sure you get a virtual copy of this book so that it can help you while you're studying right there at home. Why don't you stand with me, the rest of you across the room today? Can we just lift our hands in the presence of the Lord for a moment? We just lift our hands in the presence of the Lord for a moment. Feel God in this house. Come on online, lift your hands right where you are for a moment. Sweep over my forever, I pray in fact. God bless you.